Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
You ready to rock?
Yep.
From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
And he stood up and looked at me and he says, "You get away from here, I'll stab you. I'll stab you."
Today, prosecutors are painting a history of racist and violent behavior by Christian.
"You can't talk to me like that. I'll f you up. I won't rape you, but I'll kill you.
Do you want some of this?" And he held up his knife at me and he goes, "I'm going to have to do to you the same thing I did to those guys."
After 8 days of poignant, painful, and at times gruesome firsthand accounts of the attack on a Portland MAX train that left two men dead and another critically wounded on May 26, 2017, Multnomah County prosecutors rested their case. I'm Ian Costello. It's Friday, February 7th, 2020, and this is the trial of Jeremy Christian. Joining me now by phone is Coin Digital reporter Hannah Rae Lambert, who has been in court for every day of testimony, and with court in recess till Monday, she's getting a well-deserved break. So Hannah Rae, thank you for spending some time with me this morning.
Yeah, thanks for letting me call in, Ian.
We'll get into Micah Fletcher's lengthy testimony here in a few minutes, but I want to go back and start with a similar theme from when we talked last week in terms of the people in court paying close attention to this case. Before testimony started this Monday morning, who did you realize was sitting next to you?
I realized that I was sitting next to Jeremy Christian's mom. So I knew that she was in the courtroom every day. And I kind of been looking around. I was like, "Oh my, where is she?" You know, because you try to look at the people's reactions to the testimony and stuff. And then I asked someone else who was kind of in the know, and they were like, "Well, she's sitting right next to you."
So here's a person who's been a virtual unknown, at least publicly, since her son was arrested following the deadly incident on the MAX. We don't really know her at all. We don't really know much about her, other than her son is charged with a terrible crime. It has got to be such a tough thing to be Jeremy Christian's mom. How would you describe her reaction to the trial and the testimony so far?
I have enormous sympathy for her. Her reaction has just been really heartbreaking to see. She's sitting there so quietly and so stoically, but I mean, you can see she's got tissues in her hands, and she appears to be, if not crying, on the verge of crying during much of testimony. And it's just really hard because, I mean, the victims, moms and family, of course, they're getting lots of public sympathy, rightly so. But I imagine it's very hard to be the defendant's mother in this case.
Has she reacted to any of the testimony?
Yes, she has, and the videos as well. I mean, she seems to like clutch her tissue a little bit tighter, and you can see her, I would expect, dabbing at her eyes. She raises it to her face. But again, she's very quiet, very still during all of this.
During the first week of testimony, we saw a lot of gruesome videos of the attack itself. This week, it's been videos of Jeremy Christian before the attack, a few from a rally at the end of April, and another from the night before the deadly incident on the train. What do you think the prosecution is trying to do by bringing up and showing these videos?
So yeah, they brought up one of the videos from the Montevilla rally that both Micah Fletcher and Jeremy Christian both attended in late April, so about a month before the MAX attack. And we've had this on our website before, too, this video, and we knew they were both there together. They brought it up during Micah's testimony. He said that they didn't really interact too directly. Micah was there in a clown outfit trying to, as he put it, diffuse the tension at that rally, and Jeremy was there wearing like a Betsy Ross style American flag and kind of spouting off about some different topics there. I'm not sure what the prosecution's goal is with this video, if they're trying to make it reflect more on Christian's state of mind going into the events on the MAX train, or if they were using it as part of showing that Micah Fletcher has a history of going to these rallies and, as he puts it, trying to add some levity to the situation. And then they showed the MAX videos of the night before, so about 16 hours before the MAX attack. They showed the videos that appear to depict Jeremy Christian threatening Demetria Hester, and ultimately she maces him, and he appears to throw a Gatorade bottle at her, which, as we know, kind of caused some swelling and bruising around her eyes. So I think they're probably using this to show kind of a habit of harassment and in the case of Demetria Hester, actual physical violence.
We saw the video of Fletcher and Christian meeting at that rally at Montevilla Park. Just based on what you heard in court this week, do you think Jeremy Christian recognized Micah Fletcher on the train that day, or did Micah Fletcher recognize Jeremy Christian at all?
Micah Fletcher testified that he did once he kind of got closer to him on the train that day. So after he kind of got up to go confront him about the rant on the train. I have not seen any indication that Jeremy Christian recognized Micah Fletcher. At this point, we've heard and read some of Christian's statements that he made after the attack, and I don't believe he has mentioned the Montevilla connection during any of those. So Micah, yes, recognized him. Jeremy, not sure.
So obviously we saw that video of Micah Fletcher and Jeremy Christian meeting at that rally at Montevilla Park from about a month before the attack. Last week we saw video that certainly appears to show Jeremy Christian stabbing Micah Fletcher in the neck and almost killing him. Tuesday, Micah Fletcher takes the stand.
All eyes were on Micah Fletcher today as he testified for hours detailing the events of his life.
I know what it looks like before somebody hurts somebody else. I cared about whether or not the other person was getting hurt. I pushed him again,
and
closer, hopefully, towards the door.
How did he respond?
Well, he responded by stabbing me in the throat.
Where has he been since he got out of the hospital?
So, Micah, in his testimony, says he's working as a carpenter now. He said he never returned to work at the pizza place he was working at the time of the attack. That was, if people have been following along, he called his mom while he was on the platform thinking he was dying and asked her to call his work, the pizza place, to let them know he wouldn't be in that day. And as it turns out, he never went back there. But he is working now, he says. And I actually spoke with his mom very briefly after his testimony. She didn't want to say a whole lot because he technically could still get called back. And also, she's just exhausted, I'm sure. But she did say that he's still been suffering from nightmares all the time, which is completely understandable. And also, the prosecutors actually brought up the fact that about a year after the Max attack, Micah Fletcher went to another protest. And that one was on June 30th, 2018. And assuming they mean the one in downtown Portland, we covered that heavily the day it happened. It's a protest that was deemed a riot by Portland police. They arrested people, seized a lot of weapons. Our own Jennifer Dowling got hit by part of a flashbang at that protest. And Micah told prosecutors that he went to the protest, A, because he likes playing his drums and he wanted to drum out there, and B, because he wanted to prove to himself that he wasn't afraid to go.
How did he look to you?
He looked very, very well composed. He did a really remarkable job up there on the witness stand. As the prosecution kind of set the jury up for in their opening statements, we do know that Micah is on the autism spectrum. So some of his answers were eliciting laughs from the audience. I asked his mom about that. She was just the matter-of-fact way that he responds sometimes to things. She said that's typical Micah. She said that's how he just answers things. And I think that the people in the courtroom, of course, were very sympathetic to what he's been through and probably amazed by how well he is able to talk about the incident.
Hannah Ray, one could make the argument that everybody on the train that day, or at least in that car, is a survivor. Micah Fletcher confronted Jeremy Christian physically and lived to tell about it. He's one of the star witnesses for the prosecutors this week, and his testimony was obviously very powerful, kind of the headline, powerful and painful testimony of the first couple weeks. Overall, do you think prosecutors have made their case?
I think that they have achieved what they set out to do. During opening arguments, they very neatly laid out a sequence of events. They painted this picture to go along with the charges that Christian is facing, beginning with the night before the attack when he's accused of threatening Demetria Hester and then hurling that Gatorade bottle at her. On day one, prosecutors showed that sequence of events on the Max train as well. They stressed that the defendant made the first physical contact, and during testimony, the lead homicide detective backed that up, noting that Christian shoved Micah first, then pushed Halesian. Also, at the end of opening statements, prosecutors mentioned how Christian, nearly 3 years later, has never shown remorse. They said specifically that he feels, quote, justified in his actions. Now, during the trial, there were actually some pieces of evidence that the judge determined could not be shown to jurors because she said prosecution shouldn't rely too heavily on that lack of remorse argument and instead keep things relevant to Christian's state of mind at the time of the incident. So some of the things that they weren't able to present included evidence that Christian mocked Fletcher after the attack. They were able to admit some fragments of a jail phone call where Christian appears to be talking about Fletcher being diagnosed with autism and being bullied. And he said something along the lines of, apparently that rubbed off on him because he decided to bully me on the max and that didn't work out too well for him. Jurors were able to hear that part of a phone call that Christian made. And in the same phone call, the jury was also able to hear the person identified as Christian say that Talesian's aunt, who you may remember was on the phone with him at the time of the attack, and she actually testified last week. In that jail phone call, Christian can be heard saying that she sent her nephew to his death. So I think that kind of touches on the last point that the prosecution laid out in their arguments, that they're trying to show that he has not felt bad for what he did.
Monday, the attention will turn to the defense, and based on opening statements and some of the testimony we've heard so far and some of the cross-examination, there appears to be a self-defense argument being made. Looking at that, what do you expect to hear from Jeremy Christian's attorneys come Monday?
Well, based on their opening statements as well, I'm expecting them to focus kind of on the broadness of the rant. As many of the prosecution's witnesses have already stated, it ping-ponged from topic to topic. I think his attorneys are going to try to double down on this because in their opening arguments, they said that they are arguing that Christian had every right to be yelling about whatever he wanted on the train, that no one had a right to try to remove him, and that, in fact, Micah Fletcher's efforts to throw him off the max had nothing to do with protecting those two teen girls who have kind of been at the center of this. So that's their position. They plan to call several experts. I'm guessing at least a couple of them will comment on Christian's mental health. In court yesterday, when we had that brief day of motions and stuff, the defense mentioned that they might call a couple acquaintances or friends. And they also left open the possibility that Jeremy Christian could still choose to testify. They were mentioning, you know, kind of, they're trying to figure out the timeline of how long it'll take them to get through their witnesses. And they were mentioning that if he takes the stand, that could go quite a while.
Hannah Rae Lambert, thank you very much. If people want to follow along with your coverage, what's the best way to find you on social media?
The best way to find me for coverage of this is on Twitter. I am at the Hannah Rae. Rae is spelled R-A-Y. I'm tweeting pretty regularly during every break we get in the trial, so follow along there.
Enjoy your weekend, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.